it was really kind of a breaking point moment in a way. Is kind of like, okay, well, I definitely don't want to have an affair. I don't think that's right. I don't want to do that to my kids. I don't want to get a divorce. I don't think that's right. And I also really don't want a marriage with no sex in it. And I want to have sex in my life, but my wife isn't doing that. So like, what can I do? Like, I felt so trapped. I like go to my car and just like scream, because I was just, what am I supposed to do here? Like, I do not know. I think I'm doing everything right. So it was rough. It was a rough time. But eventually we sought out some marriage coaching, and in my mind it was like, well, just fix her. Yeah. You know, like she I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing here. So like,
hey doc, talk to her.
Take care of this.
Hey, get your girl. Get your girl.
Exactly.
Hold your station, this education is relevant. The motivation through conversation is evident. We're talking spiritual body mind development. This is the manhood experiment.
The manhood experiment. The manhood experiment.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome back to the Manhood Experiment. I've been laying treats on you constantly lately. Got another one for you today. We're excited to host Dr. Mike Frazier, who is the host of Strong Men, Strong Marriages, a podcast that he's been sticking consistent with and sharing amazing information for more than 4 years. He is a psychiatrist with a background in neuroscience. And to me, that's absolutely fascinating, combining those two. But his specialties really shine in the area of strengthening and bringing intimacy back and strengthening relationships. And so I'm excited for this topic. I think regardless whether you are in a marriage, if it's on the rocks, if you are not in a relationship, maybe you're seeking a relationship, you're going to be able to gather some really useful tools here to improve your communication, to learn to express your needs, and so much more. So let's get into it. First, we're going to do a quick little roundtable. It's Jay Dragon here on the mic. We got Big Dreams. What's going on?
Big James in the house. What's good? What's good? How y'all feeling, man? I'm feeling good. Got new energy, you know? I still got that new 2024 energy on me. I can't get it off me. I tried. It's still here.
It's still contagious. Flowing. You hopped on. And
it's contagious.
And I got that bug, too. You know, this is neat. We got Big Daddy Energy here. So Mike, father of five, you know, he's got a strangely quiet morning, which I'm fascinated with. So some order in the house.
And
but Mike, how you doing? Thank you for being here.
Yeah, I'm doing great. I really appreciate being here. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, shoot, I want to get right into it. And I think there's we'll talk about your background, but it's just, I think there's a big stigma, and I want to get this out right away as far as like what therapy is. Why do men end up coming to you? Like what leads to men coming to you? And where is there a stigma or maybe some stereotypes that we can clear up here today?
Yeah. So as far as the, like what therapy is, I think that's a good question. And there's so many different types is probably what you should really know about that. What you want to look for when you're trying to choose a therapist, or like I call myself a coach, but a lot of that's because of licensing stuff. So like by coaching, I can use the tools across the country and across the world. Versus if I say I'm doing therapy and diagnosing people and that, like that has to be contained within the state I'm licensed in, which is California. But the tools and stuff that we use are like the same type of tools you'd learn in therapy, in certain types of therapy. So but I think really if you're trying to choose a therapist or a coach, you're really just looking for someone that has helped people get the results that you want.
Yeah.
And sometimes it will take a few people. You have to try a few people out, kind of see if you're seeing somebody local. Yeah, you know, just ask them right at the beginning. You're kind of interviewing them, right? Hey, like, what kind of people have you helped? Here's what I'm looking to do, and see what they specialize in.
I dig it.
Because, yeah, I mean, there's people will come in with different training, different tools around it. If you're looking to really, like, go into your childhood and all of that kind of thing, that's more like psychoanalytic therapy. If you're looking more for, you know, I just want to really look at my thinking and try to shift that and maybe learn some new tools and behaviors, more like cognitive behavioral therapy, acceptance commitment therapy. If you're looking for relationship stuff, you know, typically you'll see someone together. And I guess you asked what brings people to me. I think I'm unique in a way that, like, if you're a man who wants to work on his marriage and his wife maybe doesn't or is not quite ready to do that, we'll do that together. And you totally can still do it. If you start behaving differently, if you start growing, if you start communicating better, that elevates your relationship. And it also can invite growth and a new pattern in your marriage. So yeah, and I think you asked too, like, why is there a stigma? I think for men, it's just hard to ask for help.
Like, yeah.
Truth.
Like, period.
Truth. Yeah. We're guilty of that.
Yeah. I think it's funny, even like for me, like I just started therapy for myself not too long ago. I think for me, there's a lot of pride in it of like, well, I should know this, you know, this is what I do. And like, I have the tools, I just need to apply them to myself. Mm-hmm. But once I started seeing someone, I was like, oh, all these things I've been telling everybody, like someone from the outside sees it better and all that. I was like, oh yeah, that is actually true.
Doc, yeah. No, we gotta really, really hone in on that real quick. That, for one, I just want to just say, I'm so proud of you, because that takes such a humble servant attitude to be of service to your family, of service to your wife, the way that you truly want to be, to even speak on that. Knowing that you have the expertise and still saying, you know what, there's some things about me that I won't be able to see for myself, because doctors don't do heart surgery on themselves, right?
Right.
You know?
Hopefully.
Like, so I really hope that just opens up just that door for everybody. If we don't get anything else from this episode, we just want to kind of speak on the value of getting outside help early. And we want to emphasize that throughout the episode, but definitely by through just exploring your expertise and getting to know more about you. And hopefully everybody's got their hot sauce ready, because we dropping nuggets.
Yeah. So we started out there, you know, kind of just, I just wanted to get that out to really get people on the right frequency. But now I want people to be able to find themselves in your story. I read a little bit about your bio, and you experienced the same struggles that you help men with early on. It wasn't just recently that you said, hey, I think what I'm doing is working. Maybe I need a little bit of this. Please explain how you have the bliss of the honeymoon stage of life, and maybe you get through the first few years or whatever, and things shifted in your life. And please just walk us through kind of the ideas you had, because I certainly can relate to, you know, I had a conversation with my wife recently, like, this isn't what I thought marriage was going to be like. And not to be hypercritical, I just was like, I thought we were going to be able to meet our needs a little bit more. And we also have seeked outside help to be able to have that third party. But please just, let's take a little background of why you are so passionate about what you do.
Yeah, great question. So, you know, I went through medical school, went into psychiatry. I was, you know, I was always been interested in your brain, how it works. You know, I chose psychiatry because I thought that would let me help people most in their entire life. Because if you can manage your mind better, your emotions better, that affects everything, right? So, you know, kind of got into that and started and did couples therapy as part of my training. So, you know, had an interest in it. But really, it was my own mess in our marriage. Like, so I had this mindset of happy wife, happy life, right? It's like, okay. And I heard it early in the marriage where someone said that, hey, like, happy wife, happy life. I was like, oh, that makes sense. Like, that's how to have a great life and a great marriage. just make my wife happy, right? So
yeah,
I took that approach like hardcore the first many years of our marriage. The tricky thing about it is it kind of works for a while, where you read The Five Love Languages, great book. But so, you know, I'm serving her, I'm providing well as a doctor, I'm cooking, I'm cleaning, I'm helping with the kids. I'm, in my mind, checking all the boxes of like a perfect husband. Like, I'm doing everything that a husband should do. And so behind that, though, was this kind of unset expectation, or that I should be getting back from her certain things. So those being attention, appreciation, affection, and sex. And so, again, for the first several years, it kind of worked that way, right? I was like, oh, like, look, I'm the great husband. She's like, oh yeah, you are great. And it was kind of going back and forth like that. And it was good. But what started to happen was sometimes she would have a bad day, right? And maybe wouldn't appreciate something I'd do as much. Like, I'd bring flowers, and instead of like jumping up and down, she'd just be like, oh, thanks. And I would take that like, oh, you know, she doesn't care. She's not being a good wife. So I'd start getting upset, right? I'd be frustrated. She wasn't giving me attention, appreciation, affection, sex. Or I'd plan a date night out, and you know, it would be like, okay, this date night was really good. This should definitely turn into sex at the end of this. And then she'd be like, oh, I'm tired. It's time for bed. I'm like, what?
Oh,
like,
man, you put in work. You put in work. Yeah. You set it up.
Yeah, exactly.
You're supposed
to
play dominoes. You're supposed to just fall in place.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Man. Yeah.
And so, you know, I'd just be like, man, like, what else can I do? And so at one point, we got bad enough. We went even like a year with no sex in our marriage.
Wow.
And so I was like, this can't keep happening. Like this, I can't do this anymore. You know, I'm starting to think, you know, like fantasize about other women, like at work, all these nurses, right? They think I'm great. Like, why don't you? Or even like just start imagining like girls at church, like, oh, it'd be so much easier with this person. And, you know, turn to pornography sometimes. It's just kind of like a escape.
The transparency, man. I love it. I appreciate it. Cause it's not everybody's going to have this conversation with you and just be this vulnerable. So listeners, I really hope that you get something about this. And, you know, Mike, I appreciate you just, you know, putting yourself out there like that, being that example. Like, it's about to be a crazy episode, y'all. We getting into it. We getting into it. All right. So your mind's twirling now. Your mind's, somebody's talking to you on your shoulder like, hey, man, you might just want to try this. You know, so the temptation is coming in. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Okay. Totally. And
so what happens?
So it was really kind of a breaking point moment in a way, is kind of like, okay, well, and so I'm a Christian guy, and a lot of guys were Christian. And so part of that whole thing too is, well, I don't want to have an affair. I don't think that's right. I don't want to do that to my kids. I don't want to get a divorce. I don't think that's right. And I also really don't want a marriage with no sex in it, but you know, and I want to have sex in my life. And so, but my wife isn't doing that. So like, what can I do? Like, I felt so trapped. I like go to my car and just like scream. Cause I was just, what am I supposed to do here? Like, I do not know. I think I'm doing everything right. So it was rough. It was a rough time. But, eventually we sought out some marriage coaching, and, you know, in my mind, it was like, well, just fix her, you know, like she, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing here. So like, let's.
Yeah. Hey,
know,
hey, doc, talk to her. Hey, get your girl. Exactly. Get your girl.
Exactly. But yeah, you know, she is a woman, the marriage coach that we went to. But you know, she really helped me see that, man, like a lot of this was me. And it was really that whole mindset of, well, like, look how great I am, you know, like I'm doing everything. And you know, and this so it's what I teach guys, like the one-up mentality. It's like, hey honey, like look, I did 50 things here and you won't do this one thing for me. And so this kind of like superior mindset that I had. The other thing too is I teach something called the mosquito cycle, and that's really what this is. So, you know, I come in, I do all these quote unquote nice things, but I need back from her attention, appreciation, affection, sex to feel good about myself. Cause a lot of high achieving guys, what's underneath that is, you know, they kind of don't feel worthy. They don't really feel good enough, so that they go and work hard and like get, people will tell them. And people told me, hey, like, you're so great. You're such a great doctor. Right. And that feels good. And then you come home, you kind of expect the same thing. But what the rest of the world doesn't see is, when I didn't get attention, appreciation, affection, sex, I'd get frustrated. I'd get mad at her. Like, why can't you do this for me? Look at everything I do for you. You know, or I'd escape, like I mentioned, pornography, or just like be absent for a while, or go fantasize in my mind about this stuff. Then I'd feel bad, and then I'd come back. So it's just this cycle that like keeps going. But I call it mosquito because you're trying to suck off attention, appreciation, affection, sex from your wife. And like mosquitoes, they're not attractive. They get swatted. but the reason why your wife doesn't think you're as great, right? is because the rest of the world doesn't see the rest of that cycle. They don't see the explosions. They don't see the escapes. They don't see all the frustration. But your wife does. And that's why, you know, for a while it works. And then, like, she has that day where she's, oh, man, sorry, I have a headache, or, like, I'm sick. I don't really want to have sex today. And then she sees you storm off and pout and act like a baby. And
it's not sexy to her. It's not sexy.
It is not
sexy.
It is not at all. So anyway, coming back to kind of what we learned in therapy, it was just like seeing some of those patterns more clearly and seeing how I had really treated her like an object in a lot of ways. Like, hey, you know, you should be doing this for me because I'm doing this for you, treating it very transactional. So
that's putting a word to it for sure. Transactional.
Yeah.
I've heard that before.
Like, had that conversation.
What is it? Quid pro quo or something like that? I know I didn't say it correctly, but it's something close to those.
So finding ourselves in this story, because I can see something like this that's happened to us, and sometimes the roles have been reversed. You know, your wife, what's your explanation? Are you feel like you're not, like, as you're digging in trying to problem solve, because that's what men typically want to do. And there's not a clear solution from what it sounds like. And that probably confuses you and frustrates you more. But I mean, what is she saying throughout this process? Like, if this, you know, over a long period of time.
So to understand too, like, she has a pretty significant history of abuse, like sexual abuse in her past. Mm. And so, you know, for her, it was just kind of like, yeah, it's really hard.
Mm.
And of course, like, I get that. And I can understand it. And it was kind of like, okay, but, you know, it's been a lot of years and I'm not that guy. And, So I guess for us, for our situation, we had kind of blamed it on that for the most part.
Safety, trauma.
Yeah, which for sure, there's definitely partially true. But the other side was she like telling me, you're acting like you're better than me all the time, I don't like that? Or saying, hey, I know there's this ulterior motive to the stuff you're doing. No. Mm. But that's the hard thing about guys that are in a situation like I was, is even their wife sometimes doesn't quite know why she's not attracted. Because, if you're checking the boxes, it's like, I don't know.
I'm me, baby. I'm me. Yeah. Like, what you mean? I'm him. How am I? You see that box over there? Check. You see that one over there? Checked. I'm Nike. Right. Like, why is this not working out for me, babe? Come on now.
Right.
But you know what, though, Doc? I got to be transparent as well. Like, I realized that a lot of things, and then speaking to some of my closer friends as well, that it was something before us a lot of times that we don't even see. That's why we don't have the answer, because we're so used to problem solving. I know one of your episodes was talking about, like, listening and not just trying to problem solve in the moment. Do you think that is something that kind of connects to this conversation in a way of being opening or being patient enough to get that additional information? Because certain things, you know, we may not be able to solve ourselves just immediately, right?
Yeah, I think for our particular case here, it was more, we were both locked into that same story of like, okay, I'm the hero, right? She's the victim. I need to save her. She's been through this abuse. You know, she would blame herself too for the problems, but it wasn't accurate, right? It was actually like 95% me, right?
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Where just this whole mindset is really damaging, because it's, if you've read Leadership and Self-Deception by the Arbinger Institute, it talks about how we can see people as people or as objects. And really, my mindset was objectifying, right? Because it was, hey, you're putting like coins in the machine. You mentioned that earlier. It's like, okay, like, I paid my coins here, so you should now have sex with me. And if you go a little deeper than that, really, I was treating her like a prostitute. You know, I was like, hey, I've earned sex from you now. Like, I did enough chores or whatever that now you owe me. So that.
Right? She felt that pressure.
Yeah. But she couldn't say that directly. She's, like you said, she just felt it. Like, it was just...
She felt it before.
Yeah. And that was what had to change. That's what I had to change, is my mindset, the way I was looking at this, the way I was treating her. The weird thing is, you know, it's not that I even, like, did much differently. You know, I would still serve her. I'd still do things. But the intention shifted, right? I just saw her as, hey, like, this is an amazing woman. I want to do this for her. Didn't necessarily need her to respond a certain way. And then that freed her up to respond in those ways, like to appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I tell that's another kind of funny story about that. So I'd work out, and a lot of times after I'd work out, I'd come up and like flex in front of her, like without a shirt on.
I mean, who doesn't do that?
Just be like, look at my muscles, right? Just
trying to, you know, get a little swole. Yeah. Belly yourself.
Yeah. And so.
It's my mating call.
But it's a good example of this, right? Like, I so needed that attention from her, right? I so needed her to like tell me I looked good or I looked strong. But, you know, when I was in that mindset of like, I just needed her to do that and be like, oh, like, yeah, now you don't recognize me. I might as well. I didn't ever say I might as well not work out, but it was kind of like, why can't you appreciate this? Mm-hmm. Other people do, you know?
Yeah.
Another girl would appreciate that I work out, right? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's a tough language in a relationship.
And
I wasn't saying that,
right? But I was thinking that.
No. But when you're thinking on it, oftentimes I find out we act on the things we think.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, 1,000,000%. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's what it comes back to.
Without even, like, subconsciously, we reflect our actual thoughts. So sometimes it's like, what's understood doesn't need to be said. It goes both ways.
Yes, yes.
You know?
Yeah, and this is what we teach in our program a lot is, you know, people, what you do matters, but it's more the feelings and intentions around that, which comes from the way you're thinking about it, right? So I can go and flex in front of my wife, and I can think, hey, like, this is something funny. And that's that I still do sometimes, but it's more from this mindset of like, hey, this is kind of fun. It's kind of joking, right? Versus like, hey, like, she needs to see this, right? And now the feeling is entitled, right? Instead of fun. And entitled is not attractive, right? But fun.
Yeah.
Right.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Do you find this is a common trait? Because a lot of my friends, very confident guys, you know, very, very confident guys, dripping swag goo. And I'm myself attracted to those types of friends. All my friends are like, we're spearheaded, we're getting to the front. And I'm like, okay, this is my herd. These guys are going for it. But we share similar personalities, which often means we probably have a lot of common traits when it comes to relationships that eventually when we're talking later on, like I spoke to one of my good friends, I'm like, duh, I had no idea this conversation was going this way. So
yeah,
you know, is this common?
Yeah. I mean, so it's common for high achieving guys, right? And that's who I say I work with. And this is the reason, it's that there's certain mindsets a high achieving guy has that work really well with a lot of things, sports, work, right? All of that. Set a goal, go get it. But
it
doesn't work as well in our relationship. And so, yeah, we just have to kind of, it's not that you like lose your drive or whatever. We just, you know, direct that in a way that's going to be way more useful, productive, attractive. I talk a lot about attraction, right? What's attractive, what's not to your wife.
Well, I can just see how you play that cycle out. And I mean, I'll be transparent. I mean, even in our relationship, I've found times where it's like both of us maybe have had this level of expectations, the way that we view things should be, this should word that gets you in trouble. And the expectations have gotten us in trouble. And that when we don't get what we want, we end up being upset. And there's a level of judgment or resentment that might be there. And then that lingers around. And I can say, I think we can really dance around a lot of the topic we're talking about right now. But for us, like, there's a topic of once we had a child, there's been a big struggle. And I think that I can say from a male's perspective, maybe other people can relate, there's this like power struggle, like the fear of giving up quote unquote power of if I give in and do all these things for her, even though it's providing safety, it's like I'm going to get walked all over and I'm going to lose my power and my masculinity, even though that's really not what masculinity is all about. And then you find each other just with the struggle going back and forth. Is that something that's common, or do you see?
Nah, I've been there, Jay. I'm going to just let you know I've been there too. So I would be very interested to hear Doc's perspective on this one, for sure.
Well, so maybe let me understand a specific thing here. So kind of losing your power as far as like what would be an example of that, or like getting walked on, like how?
So I guess you're taking this route to, we say, the domestic duties, right? Really gearing in to wash the kids and things like that, or changing diapers per se, just being very, very aware of that. And even though that's supposed to be the role anyway, you both had the kids together, right? But in traditional nuclear families, our parents' generation was like the Leave It to Beaver family, where the guy goes out for work, the wife comes home, kisses him. I got your dinner, supper ready. Not dinner, but your supper ready. And come on in, have a seat. And where everybody's at the table. And like, that's what we're thinking is supposed to be. So if we're going outside of that box and doing more, you never seen these guys helping with the kids or changing diapers, you know, or just being that involved. So we're thinking that's a check on our box when we're doing things like this, you know? So he's like, how do you make sure that in your mind, you're not changing your mindset? And how do you consistently stay vulnerable in that moment? You know,
and it's a feeling of giving in, like, and I know it's such a silly type of thing, because you could look at it from another perspective and just be like, it's not giving in. You're a team, you're playing on a team, but it's that feeling like, well, this is the way that I see the structure of this relationship. I'm providing, doing these things, yet I'm not getting the catering to me, to the family that I seek or I desire, you know, and then there is a level of like judgment type of thing, which is not a healthy emotion that I like to feel, because I feel like, well, shoot, if I give in, then I'm just not going to get the things that I want and I desire. And that's kind of this immature cycle that I've noticed can happen, certainly in our relationship.
Yeah. So a couple thoughts on that. So kind of like Dreams was saying, you know, I have a book coming out pretty soon too. It's called Strong Men, Strong Marriages, that talks like a lot about this kind of stuff, but there's a chapter in there about this specifically. So there's this idea of like being a partner in a business versus a contractor, right? And so if you're a contractor, you kind of go in and you're like, oh, like your job's to put a wall in, right? And so you go in, you do that, you expect to be paid, and that makes sense, right? Versus if you were like a partner in building the house, for example, you would kind of think big picture. If you had another partner in there, you kind of like have your strengths and weaknesses, but be committed to like that house being built. So a lot of us, especially if we've come from a more traditional thing, we kind of come into that parenting and housework from more of that contractor mindset, which is like, hey, basically anything I do here is extra. And so I should get paid for that, you know, paid in my like attention, appreciation, affection, sex.
Yeah.
And if I don't get paid, yeah, I'm resentful at that point. Versus like, no, I want our house to look good. I want us to have good food. I want to, you know, have a happy child and like a well-adjusted child. And so I'm committed to that outcome as a partner. So yeah, I'm going to do my part, and providing financially is absolutely part of that. And so is all the other stuff. So as far as a mindset goes, I find that useful for myself and, you know, some of the guys I work with to think, you know, like we're committed to the outcome here. So it's not as big a deal to change a diaper or whatever. That said, oh, go ahead.
So that would be I guess that's the note that you had to change in your mind to kind of get over that hump or that mental hump.
That's more of a mindset shift. Yeah.
Because everybody wants ass, attention, appreciation, affection, sex.
Yep.
Not ASS, triple AS.
The other one too, though.
God forgive us.
But so that's like the mindset shift, right? But then the other half of that is, okay, you know, we're partners in it, but yeah, we do have distinct responsibilities, and let's work towards a win-win. Let's work towards something that works for both of us. And that's how you don't get run over, right? Because if you, my wife and I just had this conversation like recently where, you know, I was starting to feel that I was doing too much. Like it didn't feel fair of how much I was doing around the house versus her. Now, to be honest about that, like a lot of that was just me, right? Just I took this stuff on and didn't even like discuss it with her. I just like, well, I'll start making the meals. I'll start buying the groceries, right?
Yeah.
And then I get mad that she's not, which was stupid.
But yeah.
So it's just having that discussion, right? And so we talk about win-wins, requests, making requests, setting boundaries. So for our example, it was just like, hey, you know, I just came to her and made a request. And sometimes it's scary to do that because she might say no, or sometimes it's hard to just have enough confidence in yourself to just ask for what you want, or you think she might be mad.
That's funny, isn't it?
That kind of thing. Yeah.
Because you asked her to marry you. Yeah. You had enough confidence to do that.
Right. Right. Yeah. I think that's internal though. It's like, maybe you don't feel worthy of it because maybe you feel like you can judge the amount of effort you're putting out. And if you're actually providing the safety and everything that someone needs. And to me, I relate that to the same way as like asking uncomfortable questions. Like you ask for, you know, asking for a raise at work or asking for a promotion. It's like, well, yeah, you ask for what you deserve. And in this case, I think there's a dialogue going inside for some people that they don't really break down if they feel like they deserve it, or there's not a safe enough foundation or area to be able to speak about it. You know, because I can think of, you know, I bring something up and then that person's reactive, you know, or vice versa, you know, and then you're just like, well, you've been holding in all this stuff. Well, yeah, I'm not doing this because you didn't do this and this and all that transactional cycle again.
Yeah, exactly.
And it comes out at you.
Right. And that's where you get in trouble, right? So, you know, one of the things we teach is how to make a good request. And I think I followed this pretty well with Elizabeth. You know, a good request, it just identifies what you want, which a lot of times we don't even do that. We just complain, like with the dinner. So basically my request to my wife was, hey, I want you to plan dinners and make them, you know. And so that was what I wanted. But I definitely could have come at that and said, I do everything here. I make all the meals, right? And you don't do anything. And that would have gone nowhere, right? Because it didn't identify anything that I wanted. So yeah, you identify what you want and then you give a reason why. So the book Influence, the Psychology of Persuasion by Robert Cialdini talks about this, where the word because is sort of like a trigger for people to say yes, even if what comes after because doesn't even really like make sense. But if it does, it's even better. So we identify what we want, we give a reason why. So, you know, hey, I'd like you to make these dinners because it makes me feel cared for, because I really like your cooking. And she was like, yeah, great, I'll do it. I was like, oh, awesome.
That's really good. Yeah, oh, hot sauce ready.
I like it.
Nugget dropped.
Is there timing that's better than this? Because I can find that, like, if you bring this up in the heat of the moment, it's like, well, yeah, I want you to do this and that. Like, do you find that you need to create a space? Because I think there's, we all have preferences. Like, my wife loves to talk about stimulating conversation right as I'm laying down into bed. I'm like, I'm landing the plane. I'm already tuned out. Do you set up times to talk about, or do you recommend that people set up times to address these things? Or what have you noticed in the past from that?
Yeah, you know, I think you can. I think, you know, if you want to be really structured about it, it depends on the couple too, right? Like some couples will be very into that of like, hey, like, yeah, let's do once a week, sit down. And a good structure I recommend is like what's working in the relationship. Start there always, because it's just everything goes better if you do. So, you know, just start with what's going well.
Right.
Then, yeah, what's not working? And then what do we want to do differently? So those three questions, really good ones.
I like that you put a format to that, because sometimes we get into conversations and it just becomes talking about the problems and there's no solutions at the end. You're like, why are we even talk?
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't give you the want or the zeal or that gusto to jump into another one in the future.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, that structure works really well.
Could you do that list again? What was that structure? One more time.
So what's working? What's going well?
What's working?
So start there, right? Because then you already feel like more of a team. You know, before you start being like, oh, you this, you that, right? You're like, hey, what's working? Hey, I really appreciate the way you are with the kids. Or, hey, thank you for doing that the other day. And now everybody feels softer. You feel more loving. And then maybe what's not working. So what's working, what's not working the second. So now you're like, hey, we'll just use this meals one. Hey, you know, I just feel like I'm doing a lot of the meals and I'd like you to do them. Even as I'm saying that, like, it would be better for me to just make the request instead of being like, oh, you know, I'm doing too much. Just being like, hey, I'd really love for you to make more meals, as far as what's not working or what we want to do differently. So
that feels different.
Yeah.
Just off the jump. So treat it like a business and went, all right.
Yeah.
That's going well for the business. What's going well for the company. We're both partners in this thing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
All right. What are some of the troubles we've been having with things, and how can we make it better in the future?
Exactly. Yeah. What's working? What's not working? What are we going to do differently? So those three.
Yeah.
That's so natural for guys like, I'm not going to say guys like us, for just a lot of people. Like you said, you work with a lot of high achieving, you know, people, typically entrepreneurs or people that are very headstrong in their businesses with that.
Yeah.
You know, type of mindset. Yeah.
Yeah. So having some kind of format helps. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. I'm linear that way. You know, we have a box for everything, I feel like. And if I have a structure for it, I can repeat it and, you know, make it a part of my routine. I heard one guy, he's like, yeah, wives, their minds are like spaghetti. Like how Jay was saying he was going to have one conversation, then all of a sudden that conversation just start connecting to every other thing. You're like, I can't go down that highway and that highway at the same time.
Right.
I need one lane at a time. And we don't know how everything's connected. So sometimes like we'll talk and like me and my wife will have a conversation about one thing. And I'm like, how do we get here? How is that even connected? No, you got to take me from A to H because I'm trying to get to Z, but I don't even know how we got to H. Connect these dots for me. Yeah. Okay. I get it. Yeah. So that's how that connected to that moment of me not putting the toilet seat down because you felt like you were unsupported.
Right.
Because your butt fell and you felt the water. Got it. So you need my support overall because you felt unsupported.
Well, and to go to that, and I wanted to get to Jay's question about timing. But the way your brain works is... And I mean, maybe we gender that a little bit, but it's not grouped linearly typically, right? It's grouped by like stuff that reminds you of that same emotion. Mm-hmm. And so, like you're saying, you know, I sat in the water and you didn't remember our anniversary last year. And the other day I had to change the diaper and it was your turn. And you're like, what is going on? But it's just, just pulling all those moments that she felt that certain way. It's just how our brains work.
It's not like we're keeping inventory and it's like...
Yeah, it's just grouped by... Like your brain has stored it based on the emotion attached to that. So it just starts jumping out those different memories.
I think that's the answer right there. You just dropped a big nugget. The answer to a lot of guys' questions. Why is this connected to that? Because of the feeling that's connected to that moment.
Exactly.
It's triggering a memory.
Exactly.
Of something else. So you're getting energy from a past thing that was never addressed in this present moment.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Aha moment.
The male in me wants to pride that and be like, everything's going so good. We've been on such a high. How's this one little moment going to just untangle everything? I think that's a frustrating thing. So before we get into some tactical stuff, I want to just, I think, deliver some flavor, something really tasty for people. Let's just think, and you don't have to go into great detail, but provide, and I want to say something like 3 or 5 examples of why people came to you and what the outcome was. Like, for example, we don't have to spend a long time, but I just want people to realize like all the different areas where people can get help. And here's what I mean. Like, let's say somebody came to you and they were ready to give up. Like, hey, this is our relationship's on the rocks. We're considering divorce. Give me an example or two like that. Give me an example where people just feel like they've reached a dead end, because I think this will really help people find themselves again in these stories.
Doc, can I interrupt just for a moment? Because I know we're pushing on time as well. Like, we might have to make this 2 episodes. So we're going to split it up. That way we can transition into a new part of this conversation. I hope y'all still with us. I hope that y'all loving Dr. Mike Frazier here on the Manhood Experiment with Jay Dragon. Big dreams. We're going to transition and we'll catch you on this next episode. So stay tuned.
Thanks.
Hey, what's up? This is Big Dreams. Thank you for checking out today's episode of The Manhood Experiment. If you like today's episode, please subscribe and give us 5 stars. Not only does your feedback matter, but it helps us to connect with others just like you that find value in our weekly episodes. So subscribe, share, and speak with your friends and family about today's episode. And most importantly, take care of yourself, keep growing, and join us again on the next episode of The Manhood Experiment.
Mm-hmm. Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.